Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Deuteronomy. This is chapter 6. And this chapter has to do with
a call for wholehearted commitment to God.
Now, a whole heart. That means, there was a brother in the church at one time. And the Lord showed him a vision of him in his heart. And there was just it was Tommy Scarcello, I believe. And he showed that he showed a picture of his heart, and that there was a little corner of that heart, just a little space that Tommy wanted reserved for himself. This was told to me over 20 years ago, about 25 years ago, maybe 30 years ago. And that's how good I remember things. And the Lord showed Tommy, I don't want you to have even a little part of your heart for yourself. I want wholeheartedly. I want you to serve me with your entire heart. This is the first rule, to love the Lord with all the heart, all the soul, all the mind, and all the strength. And so that means you do everything that the Lord says. And the Lord says that if you don't receive who he sends, whosoever he sends, that you're not receiving him. You're not even receiving him at all, let alone part of your heart. You're not receiving him at all. He that will not receive whomsoever I send to bring the message to you, and you don't obey them, then you're not receiving Jesus at all. And he says, those that don't receive me are not receiving my Father. So when you don't receive the servant of the Lord, the one that God has highly chosen and sent with the message, that means you're not receiving him. If I tell you, if the Lord tells you that there's a kingdom of heaven and you don't believe that, then you're not receiving him. You're not, and if his servants, his preachers tell you that there is a kingdom of the God and there's a pit of hell and the lake of fire and you don't believe that, then you're not receiving him. If you don't receive him, you're not receiving God. And also, you're not receiving the kingdom of heaven. You're not going to receive it. That's just how plain it is. Now, these words of the Lord Jesus Christ are mentioned in the 13th chapter of the book of John. And so you can go ahead and read that right now, please. Chapter 13, verse what?
20.
Verse 20. Okay, go ahead and read it.
Verily, verily, I say unto you.
And this means, without a doubt, I'm saying to you. Be very sure that this is what I'm saying. Then what?
He that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me.
Mm-hmm. And so if you don't receive those that the Lord sends, then you're not receiving him. Amen?
Amen.
And if you don't receive him, then you're not receiving the Father. Amen?
Amen.
Now, who has believed the Lord's report? I came out of the entertainment industry and told people that the Lord called me and told me to tell the people, I thought the people of the world, that Jesus Christ is coming back to earth again, to repent, to get down on their knees, and to repent, and then to get up and follow him. He says, now, here's what I say to you. I'm sending whosoever to you, and if you receive them, then you're receiving me. And if you don't receive, and if you receive them, then you're receiving the Father. If you don't receive what they say, then that means that you don't receive him or his Father. Amen?
Amen.
That's the way I take that. And so, the Lord tells us of the kingdom of heaven. The Lord told me, people would laugh when I was telling them, we're here in the Crescent Heights. First we're in Carlos Avenue, and then we're in Crescent Heights. And I said, we're small now, but we will grow. First it'll be Carlos Avenue and then the world. People laugh their heads off. Then I says, we're in Crescent Heights now, and then it'll be soon the whole world. Then I said, first Saugus, then the whole world. And they laughed like crazy. They went into stitches. And now they don't laugh anymore. We're in the whole world. Okay? It was just started out a little old sick lady. She had cancer, and myself, who are legally blind. And now we're throughout the whole world. And they've tried to, the entire Antichrist government, the cult, and the media, and people within the, that have infiltrated into the church that were not, they were seducing spirits, tore a lot of people out of the church. The latest one was Tommy Scarcello's wife and the Davises. But we keep growing larger and larger. And people that are put out now that have, are asked to leave will see that after they've gone, that the church will even grow more and more and more rapidly as time goes on. There are people now from all over the country that want to come to the church and move in. Currently, Alberto Rivera Jr. and his wife are in our guest house over here now, and they want to move in. And so they obviously, his father obviously believed that I was sent from the Lord, Alberto Rivera, who just recently died. He had given a some of my gospel tracts to Queen Elizabeth and to Princess Diana, and who was the other one?
Charles.
And Prince Charles, and they read the tracts. And we have a picture of this man that's running for president. He's so insignificant to me in my world. What is his name?
John Kerry.
John Kerry, and we have pictures of him holding to my tracts. Ronald Reagan has read the tracts and has asked me personally if we're in Armageddon. President Clinton mentioned me in his book, Susie and Myself, and devoted a couple of pages. And then he did the book on a, on CDs, right? Is that what it is, CDs? Yeah. And then also Mr. Bush has asked me 17 times to explain to him how peace could be achieved in the Middle East, and I told him that it never will be until people are going to come up against Israel. And I went into a lot of details in scriptures telling him how there will be peace in the Middle East, that God's, because people will not repent and receive the word of God, that those that he sent to them, he would, so they don't receive Jesus and they don't receive God, that he's going to destroy the armies of the world there. And so we also have other scriptures here to read to you, which we read yesterday. Okay, go ahead and read that.
Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 through 6. For it is impossible for those...
Okay, so people that don't receive them that the Lord sent, they don't receive Jesus, they don't receive the Father, even after they say they were saved, even after they were saved, then what is impossible? What?
For those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance.
Now Paul said there'd be a falling away, a great falling away in the last day, and that the love, the keeping of God's commandments, would grow cold to people, and they would receive Antichrist, the devil, inside of them, because the Bible says that the devil would sit himself down in the temple of God to say that he is God. So that means that we are the temple of God. The Lord said that. He says that ye are the temple of God and you don't belong to yourself. And so you belong to God and you're not to not let the devil enter into you. You have to defend the soul, your spirit that's in you, and also the spirit of God that's in you. You can't grow weary in well-doing. You must continue on till the end. Otherwise, there'll be no more forgiveness for you. He that sinneth is of the devil. Now, if you sinned ignorantly, well, then there's an opportunity, there's a chance for you to repent and keep all the commandments of the Lord. But this chapter that we're reading, chapter 6, has to do with, what is the header again here?
A call for wholehearted commitment to
but
God.
The Lord wants your whole heart. So if you don't even have, he doesn't have any of your heart, well, then you've just given up on the Lord, because he doesn't move as fast as you want him to, and he doesn't do what you want him to do. A lot of people also say that Jesus is our servant. No, what he does is he calls us to be his servant. Paul says, I, Paul, the servant of God. Amen?
Amen.
Not I, Paul, who God is my servant. Amen?
Amen.
So these people, these false prophets today, have got it all twisted around to where we're supposed to be the humble servant of human beings. Oh, no, I'm not, he says, we're not servants of the human beings. We're to be the servants of the Lord. And in so doing there, if we see somebody sick, the Spirit of the Lord will definitely have us help them. Or if we see somebody in trouble, we'll definitely help them. And then we, if we have brothers and sisters in the Lord, we're to wash their feet. Because Jesus did that. He said, if you don't let me wash your feet, then you don't belong to me. And Peter said, then wash my hands and my head and my whole body, all right? On top of my feet, as well as my feet. So he did that to show that he wasn't a servant of man, but that we have to love one another. In other words, we have to show the world that we rebuke and reprove one another. Now, love, according to the world, is a whole lot different than what love, according to the Word of God, means. In other words, women are not supposed to be lesbians and hug and kiss and have sexual relationships with each other. And brothers and sisters that are married to people are not supposed to be having sexual intercourse with another person's wife. Amen?
Amen.
That's not love. That's satanic. That's against God's commandments. And love is the keeping of God's commandments. And then they say, Master, we have done, you know, if we call you Master, and he says, indeed I am. Master means your teacher. I'm your Lord and teacher. I'm your Lord and Master. But some people take that Master means that we're supposed to rule over people in a, like a evil slave master would. No, we're to show kindness. But if a person shows that they are not of the Lord, they haven't given their whole heart to the Lord, then we are to give them a space of time to repent, and we are to reprove and rebuke them in love, that they don't fall away. Because if they fall away, these scriptures here tell us that there remains no more repentance for us. Amen? Read that again.
For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and
Enlightened means to learn the Word of God. Then what?
And have tasted of the heavenly gift.
And then have received the Holy Spirit and the power of God in them so that they don't have to sin any longer. Then what?
And were made partakers of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, they had the Spirit. They knew they had the power of God in them to keep the commandments. Then what?
And have tasted the good Word of God.
And they tasted the Word of God, that it is good and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, that it does cut into their spirits and does give them the power to be powerful in the Lord, to overcome the desires of their flesh and the lusts of this world. Then what?
And the powers of the world to come.
Yeah. Then what?
If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves.
It's impossible to be renewed to repentance. Because what?
Seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame.
Right, because you're going out and telling everybody you're saved, and then all of a sudden you fall away and you start committing adultery and fornication. Everybody laughs at you and says, yeah, see, the devil was stronger than, you being of the Lord, right? They say, yeah, we're just weak and we just can't, because they're denying that the power of God is stronger than their flesh. Here, if you go way up into the universe, you see the world sitting in midair. That's God's Spirit holding it up. The Bible tells us that. It's a real heavy ball of mud. You know, it's really heavy. You try to hold up a Volkswagen. And then look at all the different automobiles that are on this earth and the buildings and all the weight of the whole earth itself is being held up by the Spirit of the Lord. Then you're saying that the Spirit of God is not strong enough to hold you up so that you can keep the commandments of God? You're a liar. And so therefore, there's no more repentance for you. There's no way that you can repent once you've accepted Satan to sit in you, to enter you and sit in you. Seven more devils come with him, and it's impossible for you to be restored to repentance anymore. There's no more repentance for you. Now, you yourself may think there is, but every so often the Lord will reveal to you that you're lost, you're good and lost, and that you're just kidding yourself, and that all there's left for you is the final dread, the dread of the final moment of standing before the living God and being cast into hell in the lake of fire. Now, these are true words of the Lord, and if you don't receive this, who's saying this? The Apostle Paul? No. Where's that?
Hebrews.
Well, several of the disciples, the apostles, wrote Hebrews. And so we know that it's true. It's all the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that in other places in the book of Revelation, throughout the Bible. He that sinneth is of the devil. John said that, the apostle John. By the Holy Spirit, though. Okay, and then continue on.
Hebrews chapter 10, verse 28 through 30. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people.
So all of God's ways, the Bible says in another place, are judgment. And that this proves that God is a God of love, but he's also a God of wrath. Because he says he'll cast. Oh, he gives people a space of time to repent. Then if they don't, then he casts them in a bed of affliction. And he says, get them out of the church. Now, if the Lord is telling me something, he says, I want you to open a farm. But I don't want you to open it unless people are trained to be in there. I also want you to tell the people to train to be automotive executives. I didn't say I'm going to open a farm. I said for people to learn how to do it, or I'm not going to be opening a farm and let a bunch of people that don't know what they're doing to go in there and run it. I can see that people could never do that. I've run a farm before, different portions of a farm. And I know, and I've had a farm. If different people in the church say, oh, he's just talking. Well, I had the third largest farm in the independent hog farm in the whole state of Arkansas. And Arkansas is a hog country. Even the name of their football team is the Hogs. Amen? What do they call them?
Razorbacks.
The Razorbacks. Well, what do you think a Razorback is? That's a hog. Amen?
Amen.
And they give the suey sound. Well, in Los Angeles, I had a hog farm out there. And also Mr. Agajanian, who owns five of the banks, the Santa Clarita banks in the Saugus, Newhall, Valencia area, always wanted to go up to the hog farm with me because he made his money to buy banks by having hogs and having a garbage route. But his wife didn't want anybody to know that because they were prestigious owners of banks now. And so she said, he said, don't tell my wife that I'm coming up here, you know, and to see these hogs with you, your hogs. I said, yeah, I won't tell her, you know, just come on up. I mean, I like Aggie. And then we had a huge farm of hens that laid eggs. There's thousands of them. I mean, we had eggs so much that it was running out of people's nostrils, and we were selling them to different stores in the Saugus, Newhall, Valencia area. And so, you know, certain people in the church roll their eyes like I'm just talking about having a farm. I've had them before, and they didn't run them too well. The hog farm got closed down when everybody turned their back on the Lord, a lot of people in the church, and the government stole everything that we had, but the Lord let it happen. And so now the Lord says, okay, now make sure everybody knows what they're doing this time, because we're not going to raise hogs, we're going to have cattle and raise things and have a small cannery out there where you can can things, because the mark of the beast is here, and people are not going to be able to buy and sell, and you won't be able either. And have everybody learn a trade so that they can swap labor for food. And I think that's good idea. So there's people in the church, that person in the church that rolled their eyes and made it look like he said, yeah, we've heard of him wanting to open up a farm before. As though she completely forgets that we had farms and that I had cattle up there and goats and all sorts of animals. I had pheasants and fez hens and chickens and turkeys. I had huge, hundreds and hundreds of turkeys and everything, and horses. So I don't know what this non-achiever in the church is doing, you know, rolling their eyes. But it's obvious she's not receiving whomsoever the Lord sent. And so it's obvious she doesn't receive the Lord. And it's obvious she doesn't receive the Father. And so if people don't receive whom the Lord sent, and the Lord, because the Lord says to receive them whom I have sent, and if they don't receive Jesus, myself, Jesus, or the Lord, God Almighty, which is Jesus also, well, then they have to ask him to leave. I have no alternative, because this church, which he now calls the greatest church in the world, this church just wants people in it that want to serve the Lord. I don't care if you've got $100 zillion, you can't be here if you don't want to serve, if you don't receive whom the Lord has sent. Because you cannot undermine this church. And this woman's husband has sabotaged the church. I don't call that receiving whomsoever the Lord sends. And I don't call that receiving the Lord, and I don't call that receiving the Father. Do you?
No.
So the whole church would make the whole the same judgment. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so it's impossible to be restored to repentance if you don't receive the Lord. If you said you were saved before, and then you willingly, wantonly, and knowingly let Satan set up in your heart to where you are like a seducing spirit, like the Midianites in the church, or like Balak and Balaam, then what kind of a person would I be if I let you stay? Then I wouldn't be of the Lord or the Father. So I have to ask them to leave. I hate that, but I hate worst receiving the curses from the Lord for allowing such as those to stay in the church. And some people act indignant as though I'm putting, Christ Jesus himself out of the church. But those people, if they're of the devil, they're liars, and they've come to destroy and to murder souls. So it's doing everyone in the church a great service to ask them to leave. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so now, Father, we ask that you anoint this book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, and that we should serve you with the whole heart, all the heart. Lord, we ask that we learn lessons from it, from your word, and that you anoint me, you open up hearts to everyone that's hearing this tape, and anoint me so that everything that I say is coming directly from the throne of the living God. Lord, I ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, let's go.
Deuteronomy chapter 6, a call for wholehearted commitment to God. King James Version, verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it.
Right, if you want to possess the kingdom of heaven, you do it. Otherwise, he puts you out of he won't let you enter the kingdom of heaven like he did the Hebrew children. And he made them go back out into the wilderness, which is symbolic of the world, to die there. Now, the wilderness is symbolic of the world, and the promised land is symbolic of heaven. So he doesn't let them in heaven, but he puts them back into the world to die in the world because they said they didn't want to go in the promised land to die. So it's the same thing, which is concurs. This is the Old Testament, and the Bible says in the New Testament, the New Covenant, which is the blood of drinking the blood of Jesus, and it's a two-way street. The covenant is just not God's covenant to us, but it's a covenant between us and him. It's a two-way street. We have to keep the covenant because he kept it. He was faithful to the Father, to the death on the cross, and we have to be faithful to Jesus till our death, until the end. We must continue on in the Spirit until the end to be saved. So it's not just a one-way street, God's covenant with us. It's our covenant with him and his covenant with us. We too make a covenant together to keep his commandments, and then we can enter into the promised land and to obey those that have the rule over you. If I would have made up that commandment, well then I'd say, well, you don't have to keep it. But he says you have to receive the message that I give my servants to bring to you so that you can say that you're receiving me also. and that you're receiving my Father also. Because my servant that I send will give you my word, and he'll break it down to you to where you can actually understand it. Okay? You can understand the word of God because it's simple. And there's no private interpretation of it. It means exactly what it says. Try to interpret, no fornicator, no adulterer shall enter the kingdom of God. Try to split hairs with that. And try to split hairs with, if you receive whomsoever I send, then I know you receive me. Because the same Spirit of Jesus in the Father is in the one that he sends. He's not sending anybody that doesn't have the Father and him by the Holy Spirit in them. And if they're preaching my word and they're ruling well in my word, then he says you must receive what they say, because it's not them saying it, it's me saying it through them, just as the Father. It wasn't me saying it, it was the Father through me saying everything. The words that I speak to you are not my own, but they're the Father. They're the words of the Father, and the deeds that I do, he said, are not mine own, but they're the Father's. I see the Father work, I see what he does, and what he tells me to do, and I do it, because he gives me the power to do it. When my Father said to have Lazarus come out, I said, come out, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus came out, amen? He said, I wouldn't have had the nerve to do such a thing as that unless it was the Father telling me to do it. I wouldn't have the nerve to open up a farm. But the contingency of opening a farm is to find out people that can really do it. And if there's nobody in the church that will volunteer and to learn it first, then I know how to simply hire a farm foreman. I give him a house on the land as payment and all the food, pay his utilities, give him a truck or a car to drive, and give him maybe $1,000 a month. He'll take care of it. A lot of people in this world will go and take that kind of a soft job. Amen?
Amen.
Although it's not soft. And then put some people out there under him to make him do what it takes to run a farm. For people that volunteer. I wouldn't put anybody out there that didn't volunteer. Or wouldn't study to show themselves that they really want to do that. So what I'm saying that is wise because the Father told me to say it. All right? And it's got to be wisdom. And people, if you don't receive it, then you're not receiving Jesus and you're not receiving the Father. Now the Father, Jesus told me to do all kinds of things. And you can see the evidence of it all over everywhere you go. Because I didn't think of these things to do, but the Lord told me to do it. And I did it. And he gave me the wherewithal to do it. So, remember that scripture very much. Remember that, you know, that you must receive whomsoever the Lord sends. By doing so, you're receiving the Lord, Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord and Savior, our Master, our Teacher. And you're receiving the Father. Amen?
Amen.
Now remember, master, schoolmaster, master means teacher. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? Didn't you have a schoolmaster? That's a teacher. Okay, now continue on, please.
Verse 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life. And that thy days may be prolonged.
Yeah, if you want to live long, why wouldn't you want to live long? Living long is eternally. Amen?
Amen.
Dying eternally is like not living, it's dying. You never die, you just die eternally. It's just ever like you wished you were dead type thing. Okay, then what?
Verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee.
Yeah, if you're Israel, if you're the spiritual New Jerusalem, then you're going to do it. Nobody can twist your arm to do it, because if you're a belligerent person, no matter how hard you get your arm twisted, or no matter how hard your head gets run through a wall, if you're a stubborn person, if you got a belligerent spirit, if you don't receive those whom the Lord sent, how could the world be saved if he didn't send ministers, servants? And how can they believe unless they use his scriptures? Amen?
Amen.
The word. Because they can't have faith without the word. And if they don't understand the word, if people are preaching it in such a manner that people can't understand what it says, Well, then how can they have faith? And if they have faith and then not do what the Lord says, then they're really wicked. According to the Lord, they're not receiving what the minister says. They might not like the way he combs his hair. They might not like the fact that he even doesn't have hair. Okay? Some ministers maybe don't have hair. Maybe their nose is too big or too crooked or too fat, and you don't like them because of that. Maybe you got too close to them one time and smelled their breath, and you didn't like that too. But the Lord didn't say that you're supposed to like their breath or their nose or their hair or their baldness or whatever. You're supposed to just receive what they're saying. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, if it matches with the Scriptures. And if they have a track record of doing what the Lord told them to do. Amen?
Amen.
So that you know, you have to pay attention to the Word of God. This is what the Word says. And the Word is God. And the Word is Christ. Christ is God, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Okay, go ahead.
Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey.
Mm-hmm. Or perhaps maybe the person that is sent is too tall, or maybe they're too short, or maybe too fat, or maybe they're disgusting looking like Paul said he was, or maybe like Elijah. Was it him that had the bald head? Elisha had a bald head. And some little kids come and says, get thee up also like Elijah did. You bald-headed old buzzard, you. Get thee up, a bald head. And God destroyed him. You can not receive God's people, and in so doing, not receive Christ and the Father. But it's a price you have to pay. Amen?
Amen.
Now, God has other ways to get people. He took some giants down with bees, like hornets, amen?
Amen.
And he opened the earth to swallow some others up. He's got all kinds of varieties of ways to punish people. Because he's a God of love, and he's also a God of punishment. He's also a God that hates. He said, Jacob, have I loved, but Esau have I hated, amen?
Amen.
So he hates. He's a God of indignation. He's a terrorist. He says so. Even Paul admitted, he says, knowing the terror of God, we do what?
Persuade men.
We persuade men to believe his word. And that's what I'm trying to do, is persuade you to receive them that the Lord sends. Okay, because in so doing, you're receiving him and the Father. Got that? Good. Once you get that, well, then you're going to be better off, I think. Amen?
Amen.
And I think, I know. All right, what else?
Verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might.
And not a little piece of your heart do you keep back for yourself. All the heart. Amen?
Amen.
All the soul, all the mind, all your strength, everything goes to the Lord. So what does that leave for Caesar?
Nothing.
Yeah. Nada. Zilch. Amen?
Amen.
Well, you pay him taxes. The Lord tells you to do that, right?
Right.
Okay, then what else?
Verse 6.
That's why they shouldn't have put me in prison for tax evasion or tax fraud, because I pay taxes. Amen?
Amen.
So that was just a big lie. They should have picked on something else. Okay? Maybe that I'm, you know, wear glasses, or that I'm legally blind or something. They could have maybe got me on those charges. All right? Or I don't part my hair. There's not much to part anymore. Okay, then what else?
And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house.
We have to, with sent of the Lord, we have to teach these things. And you are sent, if you're sent of the Lord, you're going to teach these things to your children. You're not going to lie in front of them. You're not going to commit adultery or fornication or lesbianism in front of them. You're going to teach your children to keep the commandments of the Lord, and they're going to look at you to see if you do. And if you do, then they will. But if you don't, you're raising them to be hypocrites just like yourself. Then what?
And when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Verse 8, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes.
In other words, it's so important that if you can't remember them in your mind, then tie them around your arms, tie them around your head, put it in front of your eyes all day long. Put signs all over your house with the commandments that you seem to keep forgetting all day long. Put up posters and signs and everything about keeping the commandments of the Lord. It's so important because it's all determining as to where your soul is going to spend eternity. It's the most important thing that you could ever do, is to give him everything and remember it daily. Okay, then what?
Verse 9, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Verse 10, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not. Verse 11, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Verse 12, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Translation, verse 1 through 12. A call for wholehearted commitment to God. Verse 1, these are all the commandments, laws, and regulations that the Lord your God told me to teach you, so you may obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy.
Another commandment that the Lord gave me is to keep the brothers and the sisters separate in the church. And there's a lot of people, there's some people in the church that have, they don't receive the things that I'm saying to them, so therefore they're not receiving the Lord Jesus, and they're not receiving the Father. The Lord doesn't want people in the church to be tempted. We see, I saw plainly that when people, the girls and boys were going to school, at the same time, a lot of them committed adultery and fornication. And the Lord put an end to that by separating the men and women and the boys and girls, because the men and women were committing adultery and fornication. And a lot of them are dead now, and a lot of them are, maybe half of them are gone out of the church. The Lord just swept them out. And some of them have even committed suicide because they knew that it was over for them, because they knew better. Okay? And so I really want, and this is from the Lord, for you to observe that. I don't want to have to keep re-explaining it over and over every day. There's a separation between boys and girls, men and women in this church, okay? Now, if you don't like that, there's a lot of other churches you can go to where they do commit adultery and fornication, and they laugh about it. The pastor says, yeah, I know some of you are out there committing adultery, with your neighbor's wife, but one of these days the Lord's going to, and they just all laugh. Like it's a thing to do. But not here, okay? The Lord is going to have this outpost on this earth while I'm alive. All right? I know a lot of people want to change that. Therefore, I know they're not receiving whom the Lord has sent, and they're not receiving the Lord, and they're not receiving the Father. Okay, let's go.
And so you and your children and grandchildren might fear the Lord your God as long as you live. If you obey all these laws and commands, you will enjoy long life. Verse 3. Listen closely, Israel, to everything I say. Be careful to obey. Then all will go well with you, and you will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Verse 4. Hear, O Israel! The Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Verse 5. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Verse 6. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands I'm giving you today. Verse 7. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are away on a journey, when you are lying down and when you are getting up again. Verse 8. Tie them to your hands as a reminder, and wear them on your forehead. Verse 9. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Verse 10. The Lord your God will soon bring you into the land he swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is a land filled with large, prosperous cities that you did not build. Verse 11.
Okay, now, if somebody like a cook or anyone else in the church, or like a rancher or a mechanic or somebody tells you, you don't have to worry. You can mingle with men, and you women can mingle with men, and you men can mingle with the women in the church that are not your wives. and your children. I don't believe them because the Lord says something else, all right?
Sir.
You're going to be saved and get into the kingdom of heaven by believing what the Lord said, okay? Amen. And him whom the Lord has sent, the Lord and the Father, okay? That's the way it is,
Amen.
Okay? Then you're doing it with the whole heart if you do everything else. Then what else?
The houses will be richly stocked with goods you did not produce. You will draw water from cisterns you did not dig, and you will eat from vineyards and olive trees you did not plant. When you have eaten your fill in this land, verse 12, be careful not to forget the Lord who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. King James Version, verse 13, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. Verse 14, you shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. Verse 15, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Verse 16.
Well, wait a minute. God is a God of love and he'd destroy you off the face of the earth. Yes, as I said and as the Bible says, and I'm a person that the Lord has sent because I tell you what he says. I don't care what you think about me or if you leave the church because you don't like God. If you don't like the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't like what he says, well, then go. He's not just a God of love. He just says he'd destroy you. Amen?
Amen.
So that means he's the God of wrath. Amen? Punishment.
Amen.
Judgment. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Verse 16, ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. Verse 17, ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he hath commanded thee. Verse 18, and thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers.
And you'll do the same thing. You will not want to be out in the wilderness anymore. You want to be in the house of the Lord so that you can go into the good land of promise, which is this right here was symbolic of the kingdom of heaven, but you'll go into the real kingdom of heaven to live eternally forevermore. Then what?
Verse 19, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee as the Lord hath spoken. Verse 20, and when thy...
This is the same thing here. See, if it's in the house of the Lord, the congregation of the Lord, then we have to cast out all the enemies of the church. Amen?
Amen.
Why? Well, because they'll cause everybody in the church to sin. I don't want all the people in the church to start rolling their eyes every time I say something from the Lord. Do you think that'd be a good church to go to?
No.
Nobody'd be here then. They just tell everybody to leave. You could never put a young Christian, a new convert with somebody like that. They say, oh, he is all talk. Even though, you know, you can see that I've had all these different things before. They wiped them out with this kind of people in the church. Thank God, there a lot of them are gone. And thank God, God is having me put them out continuously. All right, what else?
Verse 20. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Verse 21.
What does that mean, huh? It's simple. Boys and girls are separate. Men and women are separate. And you're separate from the people of the world. You don't, even if you're a man in the house of the Lord or a woman in the house of the Lord, if you're a man, you're not going to be sitting in an automobile with some unsaved woman, and if you're a woman, you're not going to be sitting in a car in the dark with some unsaved man, or any man for that matter, not even a saved man. Amen?
Yeah.
All right, then what else? Or you're not going to be sitting in some darkened cafe with them, or anywhere with them, on a park bench. Okay, what else?
Verse 21.
I mean, this Lord wants your whole heart, all of it. Amen?
Yeah? Amen.
Okay, then what?
Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Verse 22, and the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. Verse 23, and he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers.
And the Lord swear unto our fathers also that he was going to give us an eternal kingdom to live in. And the proviso of that is that we do everything he says. You're my friend. And you are my body if you do everything I say. You're my church if you do everything I say. You're my bride if you do everything I say. I don't want some hag of a bride that doesn't do what I tell them. I don't want somebody with sin, spots, blemishes, and wrinkles. No. I want my bride to be dressed in white linen. Perfect. That people say there's no such thing as perfection, that's because they don't walk in the Holy Spirit. If a person receives whom the Lord has sent, and they receive the Lord, and they receive the Lord, he says that there's no condemnation to a person that walks in the Spirit. So therefore, if there's no condemnation on them, no spot, wrinkle, or blemish, then they're perfect. Amen?
Amen.
That's the kind of perfect the Lord wants. He says we're in a human body, but we also have the triune God in us by the Spirit of God. And so therefore, we can be more than conquerors of our flesh and more than conquerors of the lusts of the world and over the devil. We don't have to worry about the devil if we conquer our own flesh. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God living in us kills our flesh, kills the desires of the flesh, the lusts of the flesh. And so it's just a simple matter of walking in the Spirit. Just stay in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And if some days you don't feel up to it, slap one of these tapes on and listen to it again, okay? Because you feel the Spirit now, don't you?
Yes.
It is because the Lord is talking through me at the moment. That's why you feel the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And also you feel Him from these words in the Bible. Amen? Amen. Especially that. I'm just explaining what the Bible says. I'm not making up anything new. All right, what else?
Verse 24. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is at this day. Verse 25. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments.
A lot of these people that say it's all right to sin say, we're God's righteousness. No, you're not. It says, if you do everything He says, if you're walking in the Spirit, then you can be said to be the righteousness of God so long as you continue doing that. But you're not the righteousness of God if you're a sinner. Who's this guy Creflo Dollar that keeps saying that all those sinners in his congregation that he says himself are committing adultery and fornication, that they're the righteousness of God? Get out of here. And then others that say if you send money in to them, that you're the righteousness of God. You can't buy your salvation. You have to do the commandments of the Lord, everything that He says. And you can't do them at all. Not unless the Spirit of God, the power of God, is in you. And the power of God, the full power of God, in heaven and on earth is Jesus. All power in heaven and on earth belongs to Me, says the Lord. And He says you can't do anything without Me, the power in you. Okay, then what?
And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments.
Yes, it's not, what do they call it?
Unconditional.
Yeah, huh?
Unconditional.
Yeah, it's not unconditional. He said if. That's conditional, amen?
Amen.
And what's this guy's preacher's name, the Baptist out there in Atlanta, Georgia? Yeah, Charles Stanley, he says, God just loves you unconditionally. He's just a real teddy bear, a slob, you know, just lets you sing anything you do. He just loves you unconditionally. He's just going to just go behind you and help blow your nose and wipe all the snot off your face. No, he says he'll pack your eyelids with dung and stuff your nostrils with them and pack your mouth. If you consider my word to be nothing or dung, then I'm going to stuff your ears and everything with it. Okay, keep going.
And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as He hath commanded us. 13 through 25. You must fear the Lord your God and serve Him. When you take an oath, you must use only His name. Verse 14. You must not worship any of the gods of neighboring nations. Verse 15. For the Lord your God, who lives among you, is a jealous God. His anger will flare up against you and wipe you from the face of the earth. Verse 16.
Well, I thought that He was a God of love. He says, you are sinning in the earth and you have to be wiped out. It's a God of judgment. Amen?
Amen.
righteous judgment. He's a righteous God. If he wipes you out, you deserve it. Or if he wipes me out, I deserve it. Okay? It goes for everybody. I'm no exception. Moses was no exception, so how could I be? Paul is no exception, so how could I be? Nobody's an exception. He doesn't let anyone sin and get away with it. And that's including you. Okay, then what?
Do not test the Lord your God as you did when you complained at Massah. Verse 17. You must diligently obey the commands of the Lord your God, all the stipulations and laws he has given you. Verse 18. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so all will go well with you. Then you will enter and occupy the good land that the Lord solemnly promised to give your ancestors. Verse 19. You will drive out all the enemies living in your land, just as the Lord said you would. Verse 20. In the future, your children will ask you, quote, what is the meaning of these stipulations, laws, and regulations that the Lord our God has given us? Unquote. Verse 21. Then you must tell them, quote, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with amazing power. Verse 22. Before our eyes, the Lord did miraculous signs and wonders, dealing terrifying blows against Egypt and Pharaoh and all his people. Verse 23. He brought us out of Egypt so he could give us this land he had solemnly promised to give our ancestors. Verse 24. And the Lord our God commanded us to obey all these laws and to fear him for our own prosperity and well-being, as it is now the case. Verse 25. For we are righteous when we obey all the commands the Lord our God has given us.
But you're not righteous if you don't. You're not God's righteousness if you don't. If you're not walking in the Spirit, you're not righteous. It just is only if, you know, it's all contingent on that. It's conditional. Okay? So Charles Stanley is a false prophet. He's a liar right out of the pit of hell. Right out, because he'll preach a real good message and then say, God loves you unconditionally. He will not let you go to hell no matter what you do. That's just a real liar. That's totally, all the way through the Bible, Old and New Testament, it's all conditional. Okay? Now, if he repents and starts preaching it the right way, he's going to lose about 99% of his congregation. Because they're there because they love that. They're in his church because they love his message. Okay, we got some commentary now.
6 verse 5. Here the Israelites were told to love God with all their heart, soul, and strength.
That means emphasis on the word all. Not one little spot for Tommy, not one little spot of your heart for you. It all goes to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
He says that it's all for everybody. Okay? There's no special people. Nobody gets off the hook. Then what else?
Jesus called this the most important commandment in the Bible.
You got to do everything that he says. All. That's the most important. Everything you got to give to him. It's the most important thing for you to do. You got to begin out that way or you'll never finish. You'll never even go two steps to serve him if you don't give him all. If you're not giving him all, if you haven't yet, then you never serve the Lord. You've broken the first commandment all the way. And if you're a liar, you make up excuses for the evil that you've done, the disobedience that you've done, and you keep contending that you are innocent, then you don't love God with all your heart, and you don't care. You don't love the Lord. You don't receive what those whom the Lord sent. You don't receive Jesus. You don't receive the Father. And you're not going to enter heaven. And you take issue with that because you think of yourself as righteous no matter what you do. And you're not going to receive it. And you're calling the people that God has sent liars and yourself the truth. You bum you. Okay, then what?
If we love God, we will want to do everything that he commands for us to do. That he wants us to do. The nature of this love, however, is often misunderstood. In the Bible, love is the keeping of God's commandments. It isn't an emotion, not a primary emotion at all. It's to keep his commandments. That's what love is. It is a decision that shows itself in appropriate actions.
Yeah, people don't have L-O-V-E, it's L-U-V, you know. They get all worked up and hot and bothered, and they just keep lusting after each other. That's not love, that's hate. The Bible says if you're committing adultery with somebody, you hate their soul, and you hate your own soul. You're destroying your own soul. Then what?
Thus, loving God entails the decision to follow God's commandments, looking to Him constantly for help, the help of the Holy Spirit, and forgiveness for our mistakes.
We make mistakes, but people say, well, forgive me for sinning, for committing. I can't forgive sin. And even I did, the Lord says to put the adulterers out through the Apostle Paul and the fornicators and all those kind of people like that. They're rabble, they're chaff. Only God can forgive sin, okay? Now, if you've made a mistake or you said something the wrong way to me or something like that and it offends me, and you kind of say, forgive me because I offended you, I have to forgive that because that isn't deemed a sin. It is sin if you don't come and apologize and ask for forgiveness. But sin like fornication, adultery, lying, stealing, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, forget about it. Or that also entails betraying someone. It's the same thing as blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I've written it up in my new tract, the new newsletter, of how that is the same as blasphemy, because the Lord said so. He said there's no forgiveness in this world or in the world to come. He said there's no more forgiveness if you start living a life of sin. In other words, you betray somebody that is filled with the Spirit. Or you degrade them behind their back. Or even in front of people and in front of them. And you falsely accuse them just to exalt yourself. That's blasphemy. Because Judas betrayed the Lord. That was unforgivable. And because the Lord was in his human body, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so the same Spirit lives in the people that the Lord has sent. The Lord doesn't send people that the Spirit isn't in. And so it's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit if you turn on them and call them liars or roll your eyes or say that there's just nothing but a bunch of talk. That's just like Satan saying that in the Garden of Eden that God is a bunch of talk. He's not going to really kill you. Isn't it?
Yes.
When in fact he proves that he's not talk. He's not just talk. He kills you. He sends your soul to hell. And it's so fierce, hell is, that he had to come, that he and loved people so much they didn't want to see him go there and suffer. He came into the world and died and was crucified and beaten so that you don't have to go there. So he knows it's a real deal when he says that you'll go to hell, that hell is a terrible place. It's so terrible that he even gives the Vatican and all their affiliates, all the different branches of the Vatican, space to repent, all the people in the Vatican. And he says they repented not after 2,000 years of warning. And so he's casting them in a bed of affliction. And then he's going to kill them, all the people that follow that organization and every other false prophet that is connected with them, every false church that has united themselves with the United Council of Churches. They're all going to be killed. He says, I'll kill them all. So you have to be careful. Then what else?
6 verse 7. God's word must be foremost in our thoughts when we get up in the morning or go to bed at night.
Why? For our own protection, so that we don't fall away. Amen?
Amen.
It isn't something, it's a drudgery thing to do, or it's a benefit of God. God's got it made. It's for your benefit and my benefit. Then what?
When we are at home, at work, or on vacation, or traveling.
Right. Then what else?
In other words, it must be a matter of constant and primary concern. We know that becoming mature is an all-day, everyday process. Following God's prescriptions for healthy living must help us as we progress in maturity, one day at a time. 6 verse 18. This is one of the biblical formulas for success. Quote, do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so all will go well with you. Unquote. It seems so simple, but anyone who has tried it without the power of God in them, the Spirit of the Lord, has found how hard it can be.
You can't do it without the Lord. He says it so. You can't do anything without him. The 15th chapter of John. Then what?
God laid out a plan for us to be successful. He gave us the Holy Spirit so that we can do all that He commands and even more. That way, we can continue living in the Israeli community. All of these laws and principles apply to us as well. God has given us instructions for living a perfect life, full of joy and full of His life. He desires the very best for us. This should encourage us as we seek to follow His program for His Spirit. In the Spirit, we are more than conquerors. It's not difficult. We can know for certain that when God's instructions are followed, that He's always there to help us. 6 verse 3, quote, flowing with milk and honey, unquote, is an ancient idiom. It's a figure of speech, an idiom denoting the land's richness. 6 verse 4 through 9. These verses have been known in Jewish tradition and Aramaic tradition for centuries as, quote, the Shema, unquote, which contains the fundamental truth of Israel's religion. They are recited as daily prayer along with chapter 11, verses 13 through 21, and Numbers chapter 15, verses 37 through 41.
Okay, say it in Hebrew.
Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad, ve'ahavta et Adonai Elokecha b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha v'chol me'adecha v'chayu hadvarim ha'ele asher anahi mitzaveh hayom al levavecha.
Okay, you understand that? Go ahead and read it in the Bible.
Okay.
In English.
Okay.
So that you understand it.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart.
Okay, that's it. That's, you do that, and it'll be a constant reminder to you to serve the Lord, amen? And to love Him with not a portion of your heart, or 50%, or 25%, or 10%, or 99 9/10%. He wants it all. All the heart, amen? Soul, mind, and strength. Then what?
6 verse 4. This is the creed of Judaism. Quote, the Lord, unquote, translates the Hebrew, quote, Yahweh, unquote. But later the Jews substituted the word, quote, Adonai, unquote, which means my Lord, since they considered Yahweh too sacred to be pronounced. The word, quote, God, unquote, is used here in its plural form in the Hebrew text. Thus, our God, the Lord, is one, likely emphasizes the Christian doctrine of the Trinity, three persons of the same substance in the one Godhead. This understanding, however, would not have been apparent to the people of the Old Testament.
It doesn't say three people, it says three persons, because God is not a man that He should repent. Amen?
Amen.
He's a person, though. Then what else?
6 verse 5. Israel's obedience was to arise from a relationship based upon love. Love is the keeping of God's commandments. This verse is considered by Jesus to be the first and greatest commandment. The heart was considered the seat of the mind and will. When Jesus quotes this passage in Mark 12 verse 30, and Luke 10, verse 27, he adds, quote, mind, unquote, to emphasize, quote, understanding the word and the commandments, unquote.
Okay, read them.
Okay. Mark chapter 12, verse 30, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Luke 10, verse 27, and he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself, unquote.
Now, I don't know if I said on this tape, that the Lord came as a humble servant of the Lord. I think I mentioned something about that, but He did. They think that man is supposed to command Him to do stuff, and He'll do it. He was a commander, a master. He told His people, get some water jugs. His people never told Him, run and get some water jugs, and He went and did it, okay? Because He's the master, He's the teacher, He's the Lord. He said, you get water jugs. And then on top of that, fill them with water. Then He says, go get me a donkey, okay? And they did it. And He says, now, if you do everything that I say, that's conditional, then you're my friend. So He's saying right there that I'm the Lord and Master, you have to do everything I say. So He didn't come as our servants, we are to serve Him. We're actually His slave because He bought us with His blood. So you got to get that all unscrambled, because the major amount of people that call themselves Christians are preaching that Jesus is just our, that He's going to do for us and we don't have to do anything. He came as our Lord, our Master, and our God. And He dictates to us, He's a dictator, and tells us what to do. You're my friend if
It's all conditional. If you do it, this is New Testament. Amen?
Amen.
And he says, I didn't come to break the law or to destroy it. He said, I came to fulfill it and to show you that you, as a person in the flesh, as I am, can fulfill the law too. Okay, then what else?
6 verse 8 through 9. At some point in time, the Hebrews started putting this passage along with chapter 11, verses 13 through 21, Exodus chapter 13, verses 1 through 10, and Exodus 13, verse 11 through 16, into leather cubes on straps. These are called, quote, phylacteries, unquote, and they bind them on their left hands and on their foreheads during morning prayers. They also place these scriptures in small metal or glass cases and fix them to the right-hand doorpost of each home as literal fulfillments of the command to be a people of the commandments.
Okay, and then I used to like to go to the old Pisgah home in Los Angeles and out to the, because they had little plaques where they were burnt with burnt irons or something of the different scriptures, and they were plastered all over that church. That was Brother Smith's church, and it just really was wonderful to just look up there all the way during the services. Even if somebody wasn't bringing a good message, you could just look up there and read the Word of God right in front of your eyes everywhere. And there are some people that have their plaques, you know, they've got them, they made them out of wood, and then they put them up in the beams and on the ceilings and on the walls and everything. It's just one scripture after the other, and you can feel the power of God when you read them. Amen?
Amen.
So praise the Lord. You know, if you put it in a little teeny cubicle on your hand, you can't read that. But when you put it on posts like that and on plaques all over the place, big enough to where even I could read them. Because Paul and I have a similar way that we got saved, and we also have the similar problem with bad eyes. And I could see those scriptures, and that really, I love that church, because you just couldn't get away from the Word there. Okay, what else?
6 verse 16. At Massah, Exodus 17, 1 through 7, the Israelites sought to put God to the test by imposing demands upon him to prove himself in ways that they proposed. They demanded God to provide them with drinking water as a sign that he was among them, and thus as a condition for their continued loyalty. Jesus, in his day, refused to offer such signs to the scribes and Pharisees.
You know, he's not a circus act that just come into town. You either believe him because of his word, and if not, the signs that he did was sufficient. You're not going to add more signs. Everybody knew everything that he did. It was echoed and re-echoed throughout the land. He raised Lazarus from the dead. Everybody knew it. Well, praise the Lord. That was chapter 6 of Deuteronomy. We'll be doing chapter 7, Lord willing, later on this evening. And until then, remember these things. That's what this whole chapter is about, is remembering to keep the commandments. Don't fall away every day. Or if you don't get enough word in you, if you don't remember things, then make some plaques up and set them around your house, all right? That'd be a good thing to do. I won't mind. All right? So meditate. Think about them all day long. It's your life. And God is not kidding. He's not kidding you. You have to do it. So the Lord is blessing you as you keep his commandments. And let's all praise the Lord. You thank and praise the Lord all the time. Thank him for everything that he's given us. And praise him and thank him for what he's about to do for us. Greater and mightier things. The Lord wants the world evangelized. And I'm ready. I pray that you are as well. Praise the Lord. Amen.